For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Well, God's good. It's been a great day already, and looking forward to the Lord's Day here today. Take your Bible, just open it anywhere. It's all good, but I'm going to be reading from Psalm 60. It's the 60th Psalm in the Bible, the 60th Psalm. And I'll tell you what, I was hearing these guys sing. I just about grabbed them and came up here and sang a verse with you, Brother Mitch, and but I didn't. Amen. Amen. They're not much to look at, but they're pretty good fellas. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing we've got pretty girls in the church here, that's for sure. And but anyway, Psalm 60. The world's in a mess, isn't it? That's the message today. What a mess. What a mess it is. Everybody's mad. Everybody's wearing their feelings on their sleeves. Everybody's aggravated, scared. You name it. I read about a guy, he had a grandfather clock, and his grandfather clock quit working, so he called a repair shop to get it fixed. They said, well, it'd be $100. He said, they said it'd be $100 to come get it. And then you'll have to add to that as we fix it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to pay the $100 for you to pick it up. I'll just bring it to you. So the guy strapped a grandfather clock on his back, started walking down this steep hill that he lived on, and about halfway down he slipped and fell and slid down the hill into town with that grandfather clock strapped on his back. And he came into the intersection sliding with that grandfather clock on his back just as a lady stepped off the curb. He barreled into her, knocked her down. She was dazed and upset and angry and laying there on the ground, and she said, well, why can't you just wear a wristwatch like everybody else? You know, everybody's just mad about everything, aren't they? Why can't you just wear a wristwatch like everybody else? Psalm 60. Like being reading in verse 1. The psalmist said, O God, thou hast cast us off, David said. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. And David prayed, heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That thy beloved, verse 5, may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. God looked to Ephraim. God expected more out of Ephraim because they were a leading tribe heading up the nation of Israel. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. I want you to notice in verse 3 where David said, thou hast showed thy people hard things. But, verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Father, I pray that you would add your blessing and understanding and power and help to thy word today. Thank you for the truth of the scripture. I pray that you would help us, I pray, as we go through hard things as a nation, as we go through hard things here in America, and families, many families here today going through hard times, hard things. Many that are watching today have had a hard year. They've had a hard 2 years. God, I pray that you'd help us to know what to do and where to go and who to speak with to get our help. We understand who that is, you. And I pray, God, that you'd save someone today, and I pray you'd revive your church in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring a message on verse 3 where he says, "Thou hast showed thy people hard things." David's situation here was a good bit dire, really. It was a dire situation. David, who was a great warrior and a great leader, a champion of Israel, and in fact, he was a man after God's own heart and was a great leader. And because of so much bloodshed, God did not allow him to build the temple, but Solomon was allowed to. But David was a great leader. There was very little that David feared. There was little, not very often that David would become rattled and that David would become flustered and that David would even look at something as being difficult or hard. David certainly, many of his wounds were self-inflicted. Many of his problems were brought on by his own sin. We understand all of that. But yet David was a very brave man, a courageous man, and he didn't get flustered much. But I think as we read Psalm 60 here, the heading there, you might understand, it's one of the longest other than Psalm 18, as it introduces Psalm 60. It says to the chief musician upon Shushan Edith and a miktam of David. In other words, it is a contemplation of David to teach when he strove with Aram Harim and with Aram Zobah when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. David was in battle. His troops were in battle. And he was engaged in the north. And while he was engaged in the north, he was attacked from the south. And as he was being attacked from the south, he had to send Joab with another group of forces. And when they were waging war in those days, you didn't want to divide your army. And David had to divide his army and send Joab with some troops down to protect his southern flank. And no doubt he was being attacked on the left, on the west, and on the right, in the east. David felt like he was a bit surrounded here. And David said, "Lord, you've cast us off. You've scattered us. You've been displeased." And he asked the Lord, he said, "Oh Lord, turn thyself to us again." He said, "You've made the earth to tremble. You've broken it." And he said, "Lord, heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh." He was saying, He's saying there's some gaps in the line. There's some breaches open. The lines are breaking. God, we need you to come and fill the gaps. And we need you to come and help us in battle. Little as much when God's in it. You and God make a majority. And he's saying here, our troops are divided. We've had to divide our forces. And God, we need your help. We sure need your help. Is that not really where we are today in America? It seems like we're divided. It seems like we're being attacked on every side. Although we do have it awfully well here in America, don't we? We don't have 183,000 troops sitting on our border or three sides of our border waiting to attack us this morning. Thank God. Amen. But David's situation, he was fighting battles, it seemed, on every front. He was being attacked by his enemies. I think about opposition. The door of opportunity often swings on the hinges of opposition. We've had a difficult 2 years across our country. I think instead of the pandemic drawing us together, it's divided the church, it's divided people, it's divided families, it's divided regions, it's divided by color even. And it ought not be. But he said, "Lord, you've broken it, heal the breaches." He said, "Dear God, will you come?" And he said, the foundation is shaking. There are breaches. There are openings here. He said, "Dear God, would you come fill the gaps and fill the holes?" He said, "Thou hast showed thy people hard things." I want you to know God is a God that can take us through the hard times. And he can show us hard things. And he can overcome hard obstacles. And he's an overcoming God. He said, thou show thy people hard things. Hard things. I think of man's abilities and they all fall short. I think of man's inventions and they all fall short. I think of our own strength and they all fall short. But I'm glad his banner over me is love. I'm glad God gives us a banner of truth to display. But it may be that God is bringing us through some hard things to help us to know who to go to and where our strength really lies. You say, what are those hard things that we've been going through? I think as I review some of these, you'll recognize them today. You'll recognize some of them from the very lips of the Savior. But I think as a nation, as a world today, those hard things, he says in verse 3, thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. What's that mean? Literally, I don't think he was asking them to drink fermented wine, but he was saying, he said, you've made us to drink the wine of astonishment. He said, you've staggered us like a drunk that's staggered. He said, the foundation is shaking. The breaches are open. We're staggered like a drunk man. And they said, dear God, you've given us and brought us into some hard times and hard things. I think David knew that God would come through for him and for his nation. I think there's some hard things that we're looking at today. Certainly, the Scripture speaks of wars and rumors of wars. In the last days, Paul said to Timothy, perilous times shall come. We're living in perilous days. We're living in perilous times. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, as we speak this morning, we understand Russia is sitting on the border of Ukraine. And as I mentioned, 180,000 troops, if they're not going to invade, that's certainly a pretty good sized military exercise. I pray that they don't. I pray for our brethren in Ukraine. I pray for churches in Ukraine. I saw yesterday pictures of Ukrainian Christians that are praying and asking God to spare their country. Aren't you glad for freedom in America? And I think as we see wars and rumors of wars, we're reminded that this bear in the north, the Bible describes as the bear, the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, the Russians, that bear has not been dead. I think when Reagan stood there at the wall in Berlin and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, come and tear this wall down. And I remember, I guess 1988, 89 or something like that. And I told Cindy, I said, that'll never happen, but it did happen. It did happen. They did tear that wall down and the Soviet Union was divided up and all of that. And we saw communism and many said it's the death of communism. And I've often said, I've heard other preachers say that bear is only asleep. Well, that bear's woke up. And that bear's woke up, and we know that during the tribulation period in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, we know that bear from the north. And I've often wondered, how in the world does Russia and Germany, who will be marching against Israel from the north during the latter part of the tribulation period when God will wipe them out on the mountains there and God will intervene. I always thought, well, how what would bring them together? And guess what? We're seeing that every evening on the news that Germany now and Russia are getting closer together. I mean, as other NATO countries were sending arms and provisions to fight battles with an artillery and other things like that to Ukraine. The Germans sent 5,000 helmets. Helmets. And you say, what would bring them together? Oil and gas. The pipeline that runs from their nations there. And we see Germany and you can't just say dogmatically, this is the way it's going to happen, because God will always show you something different. But certainly we see Russia, that bear, is awake again prophetically, and we knew that she would not be dead. We see China and the armies coming from the east. China, that could field the greatest army in all the world, could easily throughout Asia man a 200 million man army. Now, I think they're collecting courage from the Russians and looking at Taiwan and our neighbors there and pray for those in Taiwan. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see Iran, who has hated Israel and called Israel a cancer that must be removed from the face of the earth. We see the rise and the continuing rise and the activity of Islamic terrorism around the world. And we understand what Jesus meant when he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And there will always be. But there's going to be a day when Jesus Christ will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he'll ride on that white horse leading us back from heaven at the end of the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 19. And he will be called faithful and true, the Lion of the tribe of Judah riding on that white horse. And he will come and he'll defeat the armies of the Antichrist in that great valley of Megiddo, and he'll defeat them. And just by his speaking, he'll defeat them. And then he'll come, and his feet will land in Zechariah 14 upon the Mount of Olives, and that whole mountain will split, and Jesus, the King of Kings, will walk across that Kidron Valley and take his rightful place as King of Israel and King of the world for 1,000 years. That is yet to happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I want you to know, yes, hard things are here. Hard times are here. But God's still on the throne. Wars and rumors of wars, hard things. Not only wars and rumors of wars, but a pandemic of worldwide disease. A pandemic. Brother Danny was speaking about COVID during Sunday school. He said, I'm not going to mention that because I know, Pastor, you said I shouldn't. Let's just not mention it anymore. And then he mentioned it. He said, but boy, a lot of folks have COVID. You know? I love you, Danny. Amen. I love you. If we're to believe the reports, and I don't know that the number's this high, but by the records they're putting out, over 800,000 Americans have died with COVID-related illness. I don't know that it's that high, but a lot of people have died. Hundreds of thousands, millions across the world have died of the China virus. It's been unleashed on our nation and unleashed on this world. I mean, it's changed everything. It's changed everything. I was out in our garage the other day. I'm going to confess, I mean, we're not preppers. But I looked over in the corner of our garage and I thought, we're pretty good on toilet paper right now. I'm just going to leave that right there. We're pretty good. Pretty good. I said the other day, no matter how hard it gets, as long as I've got a fishing line and a hook, amen, and some ammo, we're going to eat, man. Amen. We're going to eat. I'm going to fight the coyotes over the groundhogs. But this pandemic, this disease has affected our lives. In so many ways, it's the pestilence. One of the pestilence, I think, mentioned in Psalm 91. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, he said, pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Pestilence. Disease. Unknown disease. I'd always read of pandemics. And, of course, we had been through the swine flu and the bird flu and other viruses. I think a few years ago, we had 117,000 Americans died of one of the viruses there. Terrible thing. But this pandemic of this worldwide disease, it's something that I think we're just going to have to learn to live with and walk by faith and have common sense and just keep on going for God. And if we're sick, we stay home, we get better, and we just keep on going. Hard things. Hard things. In these last days that we're living, we see weather that's unusually severe. Some have called it climate change. I think God's wanting a heart change. I mean, could it be that the God who created the earth and all that's in it Could it be that God might send more fires to get our attention? I think that's possible. Could it be that God would send more snow and ice and rain and floods and famines and earthquakes? He mentioned that in Matthew chapter 24. He said in Matthew chapter 24, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it for you. He said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. What was he saying? Who was he answering? He was answering his disciples who said, Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus said, this will be the sign of my coming. And we realize that Matthew 24 primarily is dealing with the tribulation period in the last days. But many of these signs are already upon us. The season is here. We realize, listen, the trumpet could sound at any time. Weather that's unusually severe. Oh, preacher, it's hot. Well, can I give you a biology lesson, a science lesson? You know, you watch these meteorologists, and you know, summertime, it's August, and they're saying, Oh, it's 110 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. It's hot in Arizona in August, you know. Oh, Daytona Beach, Florida. Here we are on the 4th of July. It's going to be 99 and 100% humidity. Yeah, that's what it does in Florida. Yeah. And it's a degree and a half hotter than it was this time last year. And then they say, Minnesota, it's going to be 37 below zero tonight. In Great Falls, Montana, we're having a blizzard out here. It's wintertime. It's mid-January. Yes, it snows in Montana and Minnesota in mid-January. It's supposed to be cold in the winter. It's supposed to warm up in the spring. And we're supposed to get rain. And we're going to get some floods and all of that. But I'll tell you, I think God has turned it up a notch or two to get our attention as a nation. I really believe that. Listen, if God who set the oceans and brings them right up and stops them, and He's in charge of the tides, He's in charge of the moon, He's in charge of the sun, that God that created all the earth could certainly get our attention through nature. It's not Mother Nature. It's God the Creator. Weather that's unusually severe. Hard things. And whether you want to admit it or not, we'll go ahead and say it. We have leadership that's unsteady in our nation. We're living in hard times because we have leadership that's unsteady and unstable. I pray for our president regularly. I mean, unsteady. We have an economy that's in trouble. We have supply chains. We have oil and gas problems. We have computer chips. Supposedly, we've got a lot of Ford trucks. And isn't that a waste? That we'd have all of these Ford F-150s sitting somewhere. And all they need is a computer chip. I really appreciate the amens and support during a sermon. But boy, when people just throw things out there like that, it gets me off my message here. Common sense would tell you if you can't get a computer chip made in China, then why cannot we build some computer chips on this continent or this nation called America? I mean, God help us. I mean, we defeated the greatest army in all the world in World War II, Hitler and all the Nazis, and freed the world. Can't we build a stinking computer chip? I mean, why can't we've got 100 ships docked off of the California coast that we can't get unloaded. God help us. I like what Governor DeSantis said down in Florida. He said, well, bring them over here. We'll unload them. I'm telling you, if that was on a West Virginia border, they'd put up a yard sign, be selling off the back of the ship. We shut down our own oil and gas. I don't think our government wants to have chips. I don't think they want to have the supply of oil. I don't think they want oil and gas. I think that they want us to drive around with a rubber band powered putt-putter that'll go about 30 miles before you have to replace the rubber band in it. I like gas. Amen. I like oil. By the way, I really enjoyed the day when we used to take the oil that we took out of a, we took the dirty oil that we changed ourselves, and we put it in a pan and we took it out on the driveway or the dirt road in front of us, and we poured it on the gravel on the dirt road to keep the dust down, or we'd paint it on the side of the barn to protect the barn, or we'd put it on the fence post to preserve the fence post. And they say, well, it may get back in the ground. Where did oil come from? Oil came from the ground. We have leadership that's unsteady. We have government overreach. We have an invasion at our southern border. We're being invaded. We're sending troops to help NATO nations when we have an invasion of hundreds of thousands of illegals, and we don't know who's coming across that southern border that are invading our nation right now. We have government overreach, our First Amendment rights, the silencing of criticism, the canceling of our culture, our First Amendment rights and our Second Amendment rights, a reversal of capitalism. It's being called democratic socialism. There's no such thing as democratic socialism. It's communism. It's not democratic socialism. It's communism, friend. Call it what it is, a laxness toward criminals, and the criminals are the victims, and evil's called good and good evil, and criminals are being let free and recommitting crimes. We have no respect globally, and we've lost the sanctity of life. I was reading a letter the other day given to me. I think about the opportunity we have here in West Virginia to turn back the clock a bit and save lives at 15 weeks. Would to God there'll be a day that abortion will be completely eliminated in our country. I don't know that we'll ever see that day. But here's a United Church of Christ pastor. Her name is Kaylee McAvoy. A United Church of Christ pastor in Maryland celebrates her abortion. This is what she said: I've never felt more loved by God. A Maryland United Church of Christ pastor claims she never felt more loved by God than when she walked into an abortion facility to abort her unborn baby. Unlike most Christians, the Reverend Kaylee McAvoy does not believe her abortion conflicted with her Christian beliefs, according to the Washington Post. She said she prayed about her pregnancy first and believed an abortion was the right thing to do. She said, I never felt more loved by God. And she went on to say, when the pastor and her then boyfriend learned in 2016 that she was pregnant, the first place they went was to a cathedral to pray and to call doctor's offices in search of one to do the abortion. Other visitors to the cathedral happened to try to enter the small chapel where McAvoy was on the phone, but her boyfriend turned them away. She remembers saying, something holy is happening here. But in front of her new congregation, she wondered and worried if they would lose respect for her. Westmoreland, like the suburb of Bethesda it sits in, is full of liberal people who politically support abortion access, McEvoy felt, but may not be ready to call it a social and theological good. That's where we are in America. I don't believe that that is the feeling of most Christians. I really don't believe that. The sanctity of life, a silencing of criticism, a rejection of God, and a rewriting of history. Hard things. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Usually I don't try to get into all of these things in the sermons here because I believe you see that all week long and you don't want to come to church and hear about that. I understand that, but this is the reality of the thing. Like David, God is showing His people hard things. We reap what we sow, don't we? You say, what's the answer, Brother Rick? I like what he says in verse 4. He said in verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. He it is. Our help comes from the Lord. But look in verse number 5. Or verse number 4. He said, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. David knew what it was to face hardship. David knew what it was to have people hate him. David knew what it was to have death threats. David knew what it was to have people try to unseat him, even family. David knew all about that. He'd been misunderstood. He'd been misrepresented. He'd been much maligned, but he said, thank God thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. We have a banner, and this is the banner. He says that it may be displayed because of the truth. Hard times open great opportunities for faith. Hard times open great doors of opportunity for the church. Hard times open great, great doors and great things can be seen if we will practice our faith before the world. He said, God said, I've given you a banner of truth. He said, first of all, He said, display it. Bear your banner. Bear your banner. I think of that great song, I'll cling to the old rugged cross, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Let's bear the banner of the cross. It's never been popular to bear the banner of the cross. It's never been popular to bear the banner of truth of God's Word. It's never been popular to stand against the stream that's coming against us. I mean, it's like trying to get you a drink of water out of a fire hydrant that's opened up fully. And we feel that way as we look at the world and we look at all these liberal ideas and liberal thoughts and we see our nation changing. He says this, He said, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Hold your banner up, He said, display your banner. He said, secondly, stand with your banner. Be identified with your banner. Thirdly, He said, gather others underneath the banner of truth. I'm glad we have opportunity. I'm glad that we have freedom to protest. Years ago, it was common, you know, if you had an idea and I had an idea and they differed, we could sit down and we'd discuss it. You'd lay out your foundation, your principles, and your thoughts on the issue, and I'd lay out mine, and we'd go on our way. But today, that's no longer true. Tolerance only goes past the end of some people's nose. But He says, look, stand underneath your banner, the banner of truth, the truth of the Savior, the truth of righteousness, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproached to any people. Stand under the banner of truth with the brethren. Stand under the banner of truth of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Stand under the banner of truth of a biblical worldview that God created this earth and all that's in it. Stand under the banner of truth of the traditional home and family, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Stand under the banner of truth that salvation is not by works. It's not by church membership. It's not by some sacrament that we accept. It's through the finished work of Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. Stand. Gather others underneath the banner of truth. Stand with your banner. Be identified with your banner. Number four, he ends that verse four by saying that it may be displayed because of the truth. Someone needs to hold up the banner of truth. But he says Selah. Selah is a musical note, and it means I'm not musically inclined, I'm declined, but it means to pause and hold that note. Hold that note. He says, hold up your banner. Get others under the banner with you. He says, display your banner. I like what the Bible says. His banner. He feeds me at his banquet table. His banner over me is love. Remember that, by the way. But he says this, reflect on your banner. Think on your banner. What a banner we stand under. What a banner. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Man's intellect will fail. Man's intuition will fail. Man's intervention has failed. Man's little innuendos, our silly words, will fail. But he said, through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Jesus said in Luke 21:14, settle it therefore in your hearts. Settle it. Not to meditate before what you shall answer. Settle it. Decide. Decide. My banner. This is my banner, the banner of truth. These are my people. This is God's word. Yes, it's a time of hard things. It's never been easy to be a Christian, to be a Bible Christian. Jesus said, settle it. Be ready to give an answer. Settle it in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Be measured in your answer. Be mindful of your answer. Have a message in your answer. But don't hesitate in your answer. Don't hesitate. What a banner we serve under. You say, preacher, sure looks like we're losing. I've read the last chapter. And we win. Amen. I've read the last chapter. You've read the last chapter. I don't know. But maybe when we come back in Revelation 19 on the horses behind Jesus. I don't know. Maybe we'll have some banners. They won't have the flying WV on them. But we'll be flying under the banner of the cross. We'll not have to do any fighting. Jesus will take care of it all. He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Thou hast show thy people hard things. I want you to know the context here is of Israel. Not of America, really. But I want you to know God's not forgotten his people, Israel. Then he's not forgotten his people here in the church. He's not forgotten the body of Christ. Hard things, yes. We've got a mighty big God to help us.